me and Felipe were standing next to each other, and he hasn't spoken to me since a long, long time. So I made an effort, put my arm around him and just said good luck for the race. And but in the race I tried to overtake, and I'm really, really sorry for my team.
Attention, attention, Flint has escaped. Find him.
Welcome to F1 Speed Up, 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 welcome to F1 Speed Up. Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. Steve Faub is on super assignment. This is podcast number 535, November 4th, 2011. Nasser?
Thank you, sir. Good to be here. And, of course, congratulations on Steve Faub becoming a papito. And hence, this podcast is brought to you in part by Johnson's Baby Powder, something he'll be getting very familiar with soon.
On today's program, F1 Weekly indeed does congratulate the co-host's new baby girl, Eliza Eloise, born October 31st at 11:59 p.m. The inaugural Indian Grand Prix looked to be a fantastic and huge success. Massa says it's some kind of fatal attraction. And of course, go to the F1 Weekly front page for the new 2011 podcast survey. Yes, we haven't done a survey in a few years, and it's time. In November, we bust out the survey. We want to see what the listeners are thinking, how much they're making, where do they live, the whole schlemiel and schlemazel of surveys. So please, go to the front page. You'll see it right there in front. Click on it. You know you want to. And of course, we'll have Motorsports Mondial with the king, the Karachi Kid himself, Nasser Hamid. So there you have it, Nas. Welcome to the studio. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thank you again. Great to see the Indian Grand Prix right next door. And your thoughts on the track and the race?
Absolutely outstanding. And at first, I had some doubts if they were going to be able to pull this off, especially after the Korean Grand Prix with low attendance. Even though it was a good race, all Formula One races are good. But I was really impressed with this one. Of course, we had the one dog incident where Bruno Senna got a little frightened, but of course he's got an emotional scar having ran into a dog in his GP2 career.
But that dog's best friend came looking for him also. Did
exactly.
You see that?
That's what's really funny. But no, a great, great race. I have to admit, another phenomenal drive by our friend Sebastian Vettel. I mean, it doesn't end. Pole position. Wins the race. Fastest lap of the race. I mean, these people are unstoppable, and I'm sure a lot of people are dying for this season to end. And, of course, there was the interesting fiasco with Massa's front wing flapping, trying to get airborne, and causing a lot of sparks. And, of course, another situation with Felipe Massa and Lewis Hamilton, which is a never-ending serial to watch on television now every 2 weeks.
Well, if Vettel is winning, these two will collide. But I like Massa's consistency. And Saturday, I think it was, or Friday, when he broke the right suspension, in the race, the left suspension.
Exactly.
So,
well,
he's pretty consistent.
He was not only that, but he wanted symmetry.
Yeah. He wants to make sure that Luca does not make the mistake of re-signing him after his contract is over.
Yeah. No, and the BBC coverage was excellent. The beginning of the race was fantastic with all the Indian girls dancing, and the intro to the show was fantastic. India really has some heavy-duty enthusiasm.
Well, it's a very large country, and it's on a fast track to modernization, this and that. And there is a lot of interest in motor racing in that part of the world. You know, I'm from that part of the world also, as you know. And in other parts also. And now with an Indian-owned team and a couple of drivers, this will, you know, Jackie Stewart said it best, that India really needs to invest in karting tracks, because you know you want to the old-fashioned way, build up from ground up. But I think being a country that's very big on a fast track, and you know, they have this thing, a lot of different states now, Bombay, you know, Mumbai, they want to have a Grand Prix race. But I think what they should really do is invest money in entry-level infrastructure. And we'll have more on this one-in-a-billion scheme that Vijay Mallya had. So I'm very happy to see this race. The track is fantastic. Tilke has really surprised us. Good elevation changes, very wide. And, you know, when I first saw the track, you know, on the side, like at Paul Rica, they have blue line.
Yeah, the colors and stuff, very nice.
Yeah, si, senor. And in Abu Dhabi, they have aqua, marine water, green color. Looks very nice. They had very bright different colors. At first, you know, I was not sure, but then it kind of grew on me. It's done in the colors of Indian flag. So it was very nice. I was very happy to see this. And one of my friends in New Delhi, he was there all 3 days. And being a diehard fan, he said, well, I would have liked it more if I was in the pit lane. And if he was in the pit lane, he would be saying, yeah, if I was in the Sebastian Vettel's car, I'll feel better. But I'm very excited. This is great. I think this race is going to survive and succeed, and that's what we want.
I agree. No, I think it will survive. The enthusiasm was there. I think it was 80,000 plus people in attendance, and I'm sure they'll be able to match that or increase it next year. But still, all in all, any particular spots during the race that you found interesting?
Well, I'll tell you that turn that is a big sweeping turn, which kind of like reminds me of a portion at the old Nürburgring. I really like that, you know, which I think it's turn 10 and 11. That was very good. I really liked it, and I know there were some complaints about the pit exit, but you know, no matter what you do, somebody's going to complain. But overall, I think this was fantastic.
Yeah, a great race. A great race for Fernando Alonso, who made it to the podium.
Who?
Fernando, el hombre muy malo.
Oh, yeah. I remember him.
And yeah. Mark Webber, the usual bad start. Nothing is going to change for him this season. Michael Schumacher had a great race with a good start. And really, the person I thought in the end, who I thought was the man of the race, was Sergio Perez, finishing 10 places above his start.
Si, senor, and he did only one tire change on the very first lap, at the end of the very first lap.
Yeah, he got rid of the hard compound really quickly.
Yeah, that guy, this guy has really, really surprised me.
Yes, I mean, he was really outstanding, solid race. Kimi Kobayashi, big bummer, out pretty quickly, very disappointing. Williams team, Rubens Barrichello and Pastor Maldonado, nothing but headaches and trouble. And of course, they're hoping Kimi Raikkonen comes on board and saves them.
You know, Kimi, great racing talent, probably the greatest natural racing talent of the last 30, 50 years, just my personal opinion. But I gotta tell you something, if $55 million a year and a championship winning team does not motivate you, what makes you think a car that cannot even finish in the top 10 is going to motivate you? So I'm here. There was an article on pitpass.com. They're saying that's not going to happen. Person who's going to land the drive would be Adrian Sutil.
Well, Adrian Sutil is, I would say, second in line. Adam Parr thinks it might happen, but of course, mum's the word. Nobody can talk about it usually during this part of the season.
Mum's the word and the champagne that Kimi wants.
I'm telling you, I think he's going to come in. Kimi has had a dismal record in the WRC. Obviously, he's got his own team, but it's really not mounted to a hill of beans.
No, you know, like I said, with all due respect to his racing talents, I think what they should do is take on a young guy like a... Looks like Nico Hülkenberg is going to replace Sutil. So the choices they will have, Williams could be like a Jules Bianchi, Romain Grosjean, you know, this French guy, Charles Pig, I find out his Papito family owns a trucking company, which I always knew, but I did some research on it. They have over 7,000 trucks. They supply oil and transportation and all that in Viva la France. So he must have a lot of money. And the guy who's handling his affairs is our old friend, Mr. Olivier Panis. And apparently he's trying to slot him in at Williams. But I think if Williams, they want to make money, they get a very talented, potentially talented kid like a Jules Bianchi, Romain Grosjean, somebody who's not much tested in Formula 1. So in case he, or even Jean-Éric Vergne. So even if he has a breakout season like Perez is having, or the way Sebastian Vettel did in the first few races, then you have a star in the making, and then you can, you know, sell his contract for $10 million, $8 million, whatever. But get somebody who has the potential, not a has-been, and who has proven that, you know, hey, I don't care.
Right. And you know what? I like Rubinho. I will miss not being able to say Rubinho for years.
Oh, boy, would I be excited on that.
I know you will. But still, there is no way he will be in a Formula One car next year. But on the other hand, there are rumors that if Robert Kubica doesn't come back, and that's still a big dark question for Renault, that Rubens Barrichello may get that 20th year in Formula One driving for no more Renault, but it will be called Lotus GP, I believe.
Yeah.
No. Which is unbelievable. Anyway, let's go right to the Felipe Massa story, because really, that's the meat and potatoes of this weekend for me.
I'll tell you, man, all due respect to him and what he has done, I just think this kid is trying way too hard. And I don't know how much his performance has been affected by his Hungarian accident. But, you know, anytime Alonso comes into a team, anytime Hamilton comes into a team, or a Sebastian Vettel, or a 26-year-old Michael Schumacher, you know, the teammate has got a huge problem. You know, it's just like Mark Webber. Not that these are not good drivers, but they just got the super uber talented kid with them, and it's very hard to win against these guys.
I agree, but let's go right to the penalty, because David Coulthard and a few other people thought the penalty was harsh and Massa didn't deserve it. But as we know, the steward for the weekend was one of our favorite F1 Weekly greats, Johnny Herbert. And Johnny Herbert, he says really basically that they were looking at the way Massa turned his head, looked in his mirrors, and saw Lewis Hamilton next to him and closed the door on purpose to cause the collision, because Felipe Massa is feeling bitter inside.
No, you know, maybe, but I don't think drivers would crash on purpose just to teach a lesson to somebody, unless there is a championship at stake. But I think I read an interview with Massa after the race that he knew Hamilton was there, and a professional driver has to know. But he said he braked late and thought he had cleared him, and then that's at least what he's saying. But I personally, I'm not buying that. But then that's what I said when the report came out about the Nelsinho crash. So, you know, I don't know what's really in somebody's head, you know.
Right. Johnny Herbert says, quote, "I know Massa was upset by our decision, but I believe we made the right call. After looking at it from different camera angles and studying all the data available to us, it was clear that Massa knew where Hamilton was before he chose to turn across him."
But my take on these things, you know, motor racing, unless it's a very deliberate thing, we've seen those also in motor racing. Unless it's very deliberate, motor racing is like life. What goes around comes around. You know, Hamilton has ruined a race or two for Massa and some other people in the past. So, you know, sometimes it turns around and bites you. So they should let these things go, you know.
Yeah. Well, there's a new nickname for Felipe Massa at Ferrari. It's called Felipe Guinea Pig Massa, because now they're trying on experimental parts on his car. And if they don't work, too bad for Felipe. And it's funny, and apparently that front wing, which Adrian Newey was eyeing during the grid at the beginning of the race, because he knew there was something sort of close to their design, but it didn't quite function correctly. And we saw on the tape, the thing was flapping in the wind, sparking everywhere, and of course they had to bring him in and put a 2-month-old wing on the front, because the experiment failed to work.
And you know, as you know, Ferrari obviously, hopefully, will be a strong team with a better package. And I think if they have the better the car perform, the less they will pay attention to Felipe Massa. It's pretty obvious who they want to see. So we'll see what happens.
Right. Abu Dhabi's coming up. It's probably going to be the same story, huh? Red Bull, pole position, fastest lap, race win until the end of the season.
How do you think Petrov will do in Abu Dhabi?
I think Petrov is going to be all right.
Okay.
You know, Renault is just sucking, and that's all there is to it. Carlos Ghosn, the head of the Renault empire, obviously was not in the Lotus garage, but in the Red
garage?
Bull winning garage.
Garage.
Le garage. So there you have it. And anyway, there you go. We're going to take a quick break, because we've got an outstanding motorsports mondial. And we've got some baby bottles warming up. We're shipping to Steve's house right away.
Absolutely.
So we'll be back after this brief... We'll be back after this brief message from Bell Auto Care.
Do you own a European or Japanese vehicle and live in the New York tri-state area? Then I want to tell you about Bell Auto Care. Bell Auto Care is a Bosch authorized repair shop with over 35 years of dedication in providing honest, friendly, and up-to-date repair and preventative maintenance to vehicles like yours and mine. Not only is this the shop in the New York area to take your European or Japanese car, they are F1 and MotoGP enthusiasts as well. So go to bellautocare.com to check out their special deals, F1 and MotoGP news, or for more information, and ring their bell to care for your car.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the Karachi Kid himself, Nasser Hamid.
Let the dogs out!
Greetings and racing regards. The first ever Indian Grand Prix is history, and so are the Delhi Dogs. Very enthusiastic crowd and very eye-popping experience for the glitzy world of Formula One. And before we proceed further, my obligation to let people know this Motorsports Mondial, especially today with EP present here, is brought to you in part by Ricola, because Mr. Tapia is going... Okay. Oh, there he goes again.
And we'll throw in a jar of Vicks Vapor Rub later on.
Whoa, and can you have Desiree give him a little
Vicks massage? She's on her
Vicks
way
massage.
With a special outfit.
Oh, well, he'll be up and running tomorrow. Okay, man of the moment, Sebastian Vettel, took a road trip to Agra to see Taj Mahal. He was surprised to see cows and other modes of transportation on four legs on the Indian Autobahn, which was really a shocker to him. According to his team manager Christian Horner, there were two Grand Prix in India, one on the track and the other getting to the track. Apparently, this had a lot of traffic issues like Istanbul also. The track is very good and nice to see some elevation changes in a Tilkedrome. Did this track remind you of the Istanbul track? For me, it had that feel.
It had some components of it, and of course, you can't get away from that because Tilke tracks now they're almost so... in tune with Tilke. I mean, you can't get away from it. I mean, it's not like the tracks of the past where you just went with whatever nature offered you. But I thought it was a nice track. To be honest with you, I really think Korea is pretty good too, but I thought this was a little bit better, and I really liked the colors and the excitement. But what about that haze? I mean, what was the haze? Was that purple haze?
No, I don't think that was purple haze. That was like, not like Jimmy's purple haze. It was something like Ravi Shankar smog, something like that. I was going to go to this race, and what really killed the deal was the timing. It was, month end, so I couldn't take time off. But like I said earlier, one of my friends was there. He lives in New Delhi. So if the race next time is after the, let's say, second or third week, then I will try to make a run.
I do have a question. Now, everybody on the BBC were just calling it Delhi. You refer to it as New Delhi. Is there a New Delhi and an
Old
Delhi?
It used to be called New Delhi, and I think now they only call it Delhi, as the natives call it. So I guess I should say Delhi.
Delhi?
So...
okay, so eventually New York will become just York. Peppermint patties.
There you go. Exactly. Okay, unlike Korea and other mega hotspots of Formula One like Bahrain and Malaysia, the Indian Grand Prix race and the track are privately funded, and hopefully it will become a regular fixture on the calendar. And this was the reason why they were supposed to get it finished just in time, unlike the Commonwealth Games, which was a government project, turned into a really complete disaster. But that's another story. My guess is if you take India and neighboring countries, more than 30% of the world population live in these countries. So a lot of potential to sell Parmalat, Vodafone mobile services, and Venezuelan oil. The only losers would be? Oberto beef and pork jerkies.
Aww.
Gee, I wonder why. I feel sorry for them.
Don't worry, Kimi Räikkönen will take care of that.
There you go, perky jerky. No, that's what they should do. Get him in Williams. Sponsored by Perky Jerky.
Yeah, and I mean, now that they've settled the Coughlin dispute with our friends Boogity
Michael,
Boogity.
Yeah, Michael Waltrip. I can just see Adam Parr doing a press conference eating a Perky Jerky.
More Slim Jim.
There you go. Fantastic. Let's talk about winners of the world while they drink scotch, whiskey, and wine and call Lewis Hamilton Deacon Blues. one of your favorites, I would imagine.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Vettel has now entered, and this was really on my mind when they kept talking about what he has done, what he's doing.
The Schumacher zone?
Yes. He's into the Schumacher zone. Because not so long ago, there was a time when the Red Baron was setting new records almost every time he started a Grand Prix. It was like most laps led, most races led, most consecutive. I mean, it was just like a never-ending F1 fairy tale. And who brought that tale to an end?
Let me see.
Nando.
Ah, my friend.
And the wind cried, yeah. Nando.
Yeah, those were beautiful days, weren't they?
Yeah, you know, actually, when I was coming to the Palatial Studios, I was thinking about that race in Saint-Marin, Imola, when Schumacher was all over him.
That was the best.
It was, and he was very young at that time. And I, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that race was not televised live in the United States, tape delay. And I remember watching, you know, following on the Formula One thing, and it was all over. Schumacher was all over, and Mr. Nando did a great job. And I remember at one time he even slowed the pace because he knew he would catch up to some back markers where the Schumacher cat might pounce on him. So it was a very impressive, oh, one of the best wins, I would say, in the last 20 years.
I have a confession. I went to YouTube and actually watched the Imola race because of the excitement.
No, it was fantastic.
It was fantastic. And last night, guess what I watched?
He's
off! He's back again!
Oh, that's an all-time favorite, yeah. And but, you know, one has to say, the following year, Schumacher repaired the, you know,
the Piper?
Yeah. Remember, he did the same thing. He wouldn't let Alonso return the favor, I should say. That was the word I was looking for. Okay. Now, well, you know, so Schumacher and now Mr. Sebastian Vettel is also doing the same thing. On Sunday, this was very, very nostalgic for me. And I said, you know, let there be some justice here. On Sunday, he became the youngest driver to claim triple play, pole, fastest lap, leading every lap. Good for him and congratulations to him. But he was beating the record of Ayrton Senna from his first win in Portugalistan in 1985. The conditions that Senna had, the car he had, the competition he had, there is no comparison.
You can't compare eras.
Yeah, exactly. And but who was powering the Lotus? JPS Lotus? Oh, I know. What a fantastic win. I was watching that race. Five in the mic could not believe when I saw Michele Alboreto in third place.
Okay, we're drifting into the past now.
Yes. Throw this away for me, please. That's okay.
But you know, this is going to be the wave that we're going to be experiencing for a while.
Yes,
these records will be tumbling as Vettel continues.
Yeah.
To win these Grand Prix, and I'm afraid 2012 may not be that much different.
You never know. You never know.
You mean Fernando could take over?
Absolutely.
I like it.
Yes. And all Vettel needs now is two poles and two wins from the remaining two races, and the season will be alles wunderbar. And I won't be surprised if that happens. And how dingo day afternoon it will be for Mark Webber if his teammate has a record after record breaking season and he goes winless. That has to be very, very demoralizing.
Well, I think he calls Massa every once in a while, and he's happy that Hamilton's not nagging him. Like Felipe. At least, you know, he's finishing the race, not banging wheels. So, hey, Mark Webber, it's over.
Yeah. Okay, Jenson Button is looking more and more comfy in the house of Hamilton. It's amazing how a good driver can look so left out in the rain in a non-competitive machinery. Button took quite a licking from Flavio Briatore, and the Bar Honda experience was everything bar success, except for a rainy day. Rainy day sunshine in Budapest, and I remember how happy he was, and Nick Fry and all those people.
Well, you know, when you get your win after, you know, you've raced over 100 Grand Prix, it's going to be exciting. Ask Nigel Mansell.
Yes, exactly. Nando, always there at the finish. If only he was at Red Bull with his amigo Mark Webber as teammate. With Ferrari already allocating resources to the 2012 car, let's hope Nando is Sir Mix-a-Lot next season. And I would like to see him get another championship with Ferrari. That would be fantastic.
Absolutely. And you have to give it to him consistently on the podium.
Oh, yeah.
Every Grand Prix.
Oh, yeah. That's the difference between a good driver and a great driver. And I think that what we see between Massa and Nando and Webber and Vettel is the thin line between a good driver and a great driver. But what about Nando's ex-teammate from 2007? Yes, no more "you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back" for Lewis and Pussycat Doll. And this is more like a mantra now. All I can say for those who want mega success in Formula One and have the talent to achieve that. Some people just dream, you know, they can't win a race in Formula Renault. They think they're going to be Formula One drivers. That's not going to happen. So my suggestion is take your pick, whoever you like. Niki Lauda, Alain Prost, Ayrton Senna, Michael Schumacher. Study their approach and entourage to the Grand Prix weekend. There were hardly ever any hangers-on with these multiple champions, and there is a reason for that. Whether you love Pussycat Doll or Goo Goo Dolls, it's your business. There is a time and place for everything. These cats and dolls do not belong in the pit lane on a Grand Prix weekend, which is a serious dog-eat-dog world, as Adrian Sutil will find out shortly. Sad but true. Or as they say in Germany, traurig aber wahr, which I learned from Deutsche Welle many years ago. So what do you think on this Hamilton?
I think you're right, but look at the success Jenson Button's having. And his girlfriend is always there, and his father's always there. The butler's there. It's sort of, I mean, for a while there, I thought they invited the gardener.
No, I mean, you're right. David Coulthard, I mean, he was there every season with a very fabulous girlfriend. One year she's from America, next year she's from Brazil, then Belgium. But, you know, they were there pretty much in the background. I mean, if the camera goes to them, it's another story. But they're not creating a scene and bringing, you know, all these people. It's turning into a show, you know.
That's true. And today's Formula One, there is a lot of show, more than in the past.
Yeah.
And certainly Schumacher, Fernando Alonso, Alain Prost, certainly. I mean, they never had that kind of... It was always business. Serious business.
As much as Fernando is in the news, two-time world champion for a driver... You know, if you show me a picture of his wife and don't tell me this is Mrs. Alonso, I'll have a hard time, you know, because you don't see her normally. I mean, look at Schumacher also. I mean, you know, these people here, they're for business, you know.
No, I think Nando's wife is usually with Sancho.
I thought you were going to say with Felipe Massa, but that's another story. Okay, we need to move on. With that, we come to famous last words on Indian Grand Prix from another German driver and now TV commentator Christian Danner. And this was, I believe, on his Facebook page. He said, and I quote, "Well, at last, I've not only seen cows on the road, I've even got some pictures of them, but there weren't any on the track. The biggest animal I saw was a dog, but that was on Friday. But never mind about the cows. India was a simply brilliant event." End of quote. And, you know, that's very true. It was a great event. And, you know, I'm sure the problems they have, they will sort it out. There was some problem with the electricity going on, some other plumbing issues and this issues that usually you would expect in, you know, when you're not in U.S. or Western Europe or Japan. But, you know, these things happen and problems happen everywhere. And
I thought the best part, and this is how I judge great Grand Prix, is if Mr. Bean is in attendance.
Yes.
And Mr. Bean was there.
Yeah.
With all his caricature, facial expressions, it was hilarious. I love Mr. Bean.
Now, good for you. You like baked beans also, right?
I do like baked beans.
That's good. So you're also consistent like Massa.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Okay, now we come to one in a billion. Turns out to be three in a billion. The Vijay Mallya initiative to find the Indian fettle. Three drivers have been selected and will now train in England, first in karting and then single-seaters in a year or two, all expenses paid. I hope this becomes successful because I believe in trickle-down theory and it will spread to other countries in the region. I hope this becomes successful as there is no question why a nation with over a billion peeps cannot produce a super quick racing driver. And now Mr. Rogers needs some Ricolta also. Ricola, I'm sorry. Success breeds success. Look what we have from Finlandia since Keke Rosberg and from Brazil since Fittipaldi. Shabash, shabash to Vijay Mallya and all the winners and participants of the program. You know what? I really like this. They had a very nice website. They went throughout India, different parts, and what they were offering kids to come of a certain age, 12 to 14 or whatever it was, and they'll allow you to do 10 laps. You know, they were looking for the pure natural talent, and the entry fee was like $2. So the intent is good. Vijay Mallya do not need to make money from everyday Indian, you know, kids. So I really would like to see this thing succeed and, you know, see what happens. Okay, with a sick crew, we have to speed up now. From Formula 1, we go to F2 in Barcelona. Season finale, both races were won by Italian Mirko Bortolotti, who has already wrapped up the championship. Interesting to see where he will go next year, World Series by Renault, GP2, or as we call it here, Habidos, or hop on Alitalia and cross the water a la Zanardi. Like to see America and race at Laguna Seca. Actually, I was chatting with him briefly, and today I asked him, hey, what are you doing? He says, you know, I'm looking at some option, but he says, I'll let you know. So we'll see what happens. Finally, you know, unfortunately, we had some tragedy past two weekends. Marco Simoncelli's funeral took place last Thursday in his hometown, Coriano, in the province of Rimini. Among the attendees were Valentino Rossi, Jorge Lorenzo, and Giacomo Agostini. The services were also broadcast on a large screen at the Misano Circuit, which is nearby. The MotoGP season ends in Valencia this weekend, where his father has requested a minute of noise in his memory, what he would like to see all the, you know, 125, 250 in MotoGP bike rev up the engines for a minute instead of being quiet. We end this Mondial with a little audio clip of Simoncelli and Jorge Lorenzo at the press conference after the Portuguese Grand Prix. Like his fellow Italian Rossi, Simoncelli was quite a character and will be missed by many.
If in the future doesn't happen anything, it's not a problem for me. But in the future happens something with you, will be a problem.
Okay. I will be arrested.
Thanks for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial, and I will take my penalty at the next Grand Prix. No more Stella for me. Thanks, Nasser. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break, and we'll come back with 50 words on the Grand Prix from our beautiful forum and the wrap-up. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And before we get into the 50 words from the forum, which is always very interesting, we've got to talk about our new mission.
50 words on the calendar.
Exactly. Nasser, let's talk about the calendar. We're going to talk about a page each podcast until everybody buys everything. And of course, let's start with page numero uno, the front page.
Well, the front page is the poster child. Well, first of all, the theme is one and only. A tribute to one-hit wonders of the Formula One world. And the poster child is our favorite new motivation, Mr. Jean Alesi, of course, winning a one and only Grand Prix on his birthday in a French-speaking part of the world, Montreal. So it's a very nice picture. And as always, pictures are supplied by my friend Mr. Peter Nygaard of Grand Prix Photo from Denmark. So this is, you know, again, a lot of information, historical information. Try to throw in some tidbit, you know, stuff people may not know about famous racing drivers. So that's what we have tried to do with this one, and it's available for shipping now, and people can go to F1 Weekly's website.
Yeah, F1Weekly.com. You'll go, and of course you'll see still the 2011 calendar, because we're having some technical difficulties, and today in America I think it was a work walkout day, so our webmaster, being a union man, refused.
And union from the Liverpool longshoremen, you know.
Exactly. So anyway, we'll get that updated, but still, just click on the 2011 calendar, and you'll instantly get the 2012 calendar.
Yes, you can order the 2011, and when the package comes,
it
will be at Jean Alesi in a Ferrari, and you will be happy.
Yes, so very exciting stuff, great calendar, and once again, congratulatory remarks are in order. to the kid.
Thank you, sir.
Not the Connecticut kid.
Oh, no, no. The Karachi kid. Yes, sir.
There you go. Anyway, let's go right into it. 50 words and not to leave your lover. But this is from the Forum, and of course the Forum is active during the season.
Okay, Mr. Simon.
Exactly. So let's start it off. Interraptor says, another win for Vettel, another start missed by Weber, another crash by Hamilton, business as usual.
Yay, this is going to be a great track in time, and the locals seem to be enthusiastic. Once again, Jensen was the only man capable of keeping Vettel honest.
From Dr. Mark F., the moderate quality of the race didn't live up to the promise of the track, mainly because of Seb's dominance. Felipe's signed his last Ferrari contract, and the beautiful smog perfectly matched Jessica's beautiful dress.
Oh, lovely. Iceman, Vettel curries favor with the locals as he breaks yet another record at Budd during Diwali on his way to win 11 in 11. Button jumps both Fred and Mark on lap 1 to finish runner-up. Massa and Lewis resume at round 6. Incredible India embraced the event with an awesome track, enthusiastic crowd to buck against the recent apathetic trend. Best new venue of the year, actually of recent years.
From lapped traffic, Vettel wins again.
And Conman suggests, in bracket, insert 50 words from any race here. Same crap, different race.
From Neon Zapper, in the words of Jensen, India's racetrack is phenomenal. Sebastian Vettel does it again. And what can I say about Lewis Hatfield and Felipe McCoy?
Leon Bray, at least this track goes up and down and even has a corner like my AFX track. Grid girls, a definite improvement over the last few races. Ferrari Flexi Wing was as good as their self-destructing suspension. Get rid of the aero so we can get back to racing. A waste of such a wide track.
And from K.A. Sin, Vettel in a class of his own again. Massa versus Hamilton gets a rematch, and this time Massa gets the penalty. Weber can't keep up. Did anything else of any consequence happen? Oh yes, India seems to have come up with a decent track. So there you go, from the Forum. Go to the Forum, and don't be a lurker. Participate, right, Nasser?
Si, senor. Throw in some questions, throw in some ideas, slings and arrows, whatever.
Exactly.
But what I'm really interested in, if people don't mind, I don't want to know, like you said, where they live and how much money they make, but I would like to know how they got involved in motor racing. You know, what was the spark that, you know, that they cannot put out the flames
exactly.
Now?
Exactly. The survey's on the front page. Just click on it. You can't miss it. And I'll have it there. We'll probably have it up for like a month. See what happens, and this helps us gauge what we need to do to improve the show, improve the website within our financial constraints, of course. But still, please fill out the survey. It really helps us out. Anyway, let's go right to the wrap up with San Francisco Formula One Group. That's where me and Nasser met. It's not a dating site.
No, it's not F1 Harmony.
There we go. Yes, San Francisco Formula One Group, sff1.com. They get together, they drink. And they do it all.
And Peter Habish, if you're listening, please call me. We need to talk.
There you go. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2011 Redline Oil Karting Championship, which is coming to a beautiful closing. Cameron Karting offers CRG karts, engines, and parts for all karts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California karters. For more information, simply go to CameronKarting.com. Yes, Nasser.
Sir, I just, Bob Washer mentioned on the Speed TV broadcast of the race.
I know you and Bob are really close now.
No, this is important because we have listeners who are in this area might want to go. Bob Washer and David Hobbs will be at Laguna Seca this weekend because there is some Skip Bobber shootout going on. So, if you know, if people want to go and say hello, meet them, you know. So this is a public service announcement.
Of course, and if you mention F1 Weekly to Bob, you get a free autographed black and white Bob picture.
On a Formula Port cap.
Oh, that's cruel, Nasser. That's very, very cruel.
Hey, slings and arrows travel every which way here.
Yeah, but not from my co-host. You're my co-host today.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Exactly. We want to mention our Facebook, MySpace, Google+, and Twitter sites. Just do a search for F1 Weekly, and tell us how much you love us. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, just email me at f1weekly.com. And, of course, the 2012 calendar is ready to go. We've got them all lined up here.
And would you like to tell our listeners what one sale means to you?
One sale means, actually, it equals one Stella and a half.
For you?
Yes, for me.
Very good.
One Stella, and that's how we pay everybody here.
Thank you.
Because, I mean, the zeros thing is, it's funny, but in reality, these people want their
It's not funny.
It's not funny, but there you have it. Anyway, thanks for listening, and good night.
Bye now.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.